All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Monday on The Usual Suspects, and it's President's Day. Michael Jordan's 57th birthday, the greatest of all time to ever do it, and Barry is away today. Barry is out, Nick is in, Tyler Scott taking one for the team, returning to his previous life as a producer, but obviously just in a very short stint before he returns to his prestigious role as leadership within Gal Media.
Fellas, what is up, everybody?
All good, man. All good. Decent weekend, I hope.
It's been a great weekend. Valentine's Day was good. I wasn't lonely on Valentine's Day for the first time in a very long time.
Which I'm happy to hear.
I know Barry's out today and tomorrow, so I'll do my best filling in.
Yep.
For the Laminack.
Yeah. So the Valentine's Day was good. I'm glad you weren't. You had me worried Friday.
Although I did not, I wasn't, you know, proactive in terms of making reservations. I did find a way to make reservations using this new app.
Okay.
But when I got there, they still said it was like an hour and a half wait. But it turned out to be great because we just rolled down the street to another restaurant and she wasn't upset and we had a great time. How was your Valentine's Day?
Good. It was good. I you know, when you're married, I got her all her Valentine's Day stuff during the day. So she was giddy. She got cards and candy and all that, you know, good stuff. And so she was happy. By the time I got home, it was all taken care of. And, of course, I got what I always get, which is nothing. So you just move on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not married like you. So you have to.
Taylor got hers. Kids are. So she was happy. So it was good.
Good. Good. Yeah. It's not really about you on that day anyway.
No, it should be, but it's not.
No, it should not.
It should.
No. It should be about Lisa.
Okay. But it was. I did my part. But you know what? Lisa isn't happy today without me.
She is. Well, of course.
Just saying.
Because if you went
at least that's the way I feel about it.
Absolutely. Did you watch most of the sports that went on over the weekend?
I did. There was a lot of stuff to watch. Obviously, All-Star Weekend for basketball.
That was fun, man.
The Astro stuff isn't going away. XFL, your Houston Roughnecks are 2-0, and Granado can't get enough. All good stuff in the neighborhood, and plenty of stuff that we then can talk about. But yeah, starting with All-Star Weekend, another extremely well-done production by the NBA, but this time the actual competitions lived up to all the production.
Yeah, everything was really, I really enjoyed almost everything that the NBA All-Star Weekend had to offer, from the slam dunk contest to the actual game to the three-point contest. I had a lot of fun watching. I had to record some of it and watch it on yesterday. Mm-hmm. But I pretty much consumed everything that the NBA All-Star had to bring to the table. And I didn't get an opportunity to hear one of John Granato's amazing calls because I was watching the Roughnecks game and I couldn't hear it. It was at a restaurant. Okay. It was like one of your favorite restaurants, Chewy's, yep. in the land of the sugar.
Good stuff.
But in terms of the All-Star weekend, dude, I consumed everything. I absorbed everything. I don't know what was your best part.
To me, because I'm, you know, first of all, I'm jaded because I've been to so many of them. That I was like, man, I think I'm starting to, Barry's rubbing off on me. I kind of was like, maybe I'll check out on this one because I've been to too many. But the more I just would peep it a little bit here and there, I was like, I started getting glued to it and it was riveting. And I think the best part to me was just the fourth quarter of the game yesterday.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, we always talk about all the All-Star games suck and, you know, and nobody really wants to get hurt. So no one's going to give their full effort. But give him credit and give Chris Paul credit in a city here where people don't like to give Chris Paul any credit. Chris Paul and the head of the Players Association was the one that has pushed with Adam Silver to try and change things, tweak things to make All-Star Weekend better. And they pushed for that format this year. That format was spot on.
And more importantly, all the players seemed to agree. Like everybody said that we really like this format. That fourth quarter was amazing. Yep. I mean, it was really close. It was the first team to 157 points. The dramatic drama that came with the missed free throw, and then he actually hit it to seal the game. All that was really cool. I mean, and then the fun festivities, like the slam dunk contest. That was amazing to me. Probably not the best one that I've ever seen, but I still like what happened. It was kind of controversial, I know, but it was still a great showing nonetheless.
I was going to say, there's plenty to talk about because the dunk contest was good. The three-point contest went down to the buzzer. The fourth quarter of the game was good. I thought everything done. I thought Common was phenomenal. The fact that instead of doing traditional intros, the fact that Common one did that tribute to his hometown of Chicago with the video background and then led into the actual kind of lyrical free flow, or I'm sure he wrote it for each player in the game, I thought was a great touch by the NBA. Jennifer Hudson, her tribute to Kobe and all beautiful. Of that. There was a lot of good stuff to be said about the All-Star Weekend.
Common is a lot more charismatic than I give him credit for. I don't know why I didn't give him that credit, but I just, the way he handled himself in that arena, I thought was perfect. I thought he did. And Hudson's tribute to Kobe was perfect. I mean, she has such a strong voice, and I really appreciated it. So the only thing I really didn't catch, to be honest, Joel, was the celebrity All-Star game.
I was going to say, if there was a low light, that was it.
I didn't watch the whole Stephen A. Smith versus Wilbon. I didn't miss
a single thing.
Was it good at all?
He got thrown out. He got a technical. He didn't get thrown. He got the first technical, and Stephen A. was just Stephen A., all about himself, and then whining and complaining about not having, he had a stacked team against him. But other than that, literally, when you look at it, you aside from a handful, it would be hard to identify everybody even playing in the game.
Right.
And be like, because Common played.
I recognized him.
Yeah.
There was a couple of players I recognized, but I didn't watch the whole game, so I didn't really, because I just didn't care for the celebrity All-Star game that much.
It's like I said, you didn't miss anything unless you missed Roxy Diaz just doing interviews around the court and things like that. There wasn't a whole lot going on that.
Was Roxy Diaz, who was the
No, the one for
the blonde girl that was doing the courtside stuff on the court.
Well, the courtside ESPN reporter is,
I forgot her name. Winslow something Winslow, I think.
No,
she had a rough time interviewing everybody. You could tell no one wanted to give her answers, and maybe it wasn't necessarily her.
It was Cassidy Hubbard. Cassidy Hubbard did the ESPN studio / interviews around the court thing. I don't know if they had another courtside reporter. But literally, and Cassidy Hubbard's from Chicago too, but literally you didn't miss anything.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, for the most part, I liked everything. Outside the celebrity game, I mean, I enjoyed everything that they had to bring to the
table. I'm not a big skills competition guy.
Oh, you're not?
I just think that's kind of a waste. It's like a recess type competition, not something that needs to be put out there. I thought it was neat that a big man won and Bam Adebayo. I thought that it was even more cool that several big men qualified for the final rounds so that they eliminated all the guards, in which it's supposed to be a guard heavy, you know, heavily favored competition. But just it just seems to me a very simplistic contest that either needs to be upgraded or you don't have to have it.
Right. Look, it's good that they're at least trying to evolve the All-Star Weekend. They've obviously introduced a new format. There's probably some more things that they could tweak. But ultimately, you really don't know if this stuff is going to work unless you try it. So this was obviously a guinea pig All-Star Weekend, and they tried a new format that actually worked.
Want to guess what lower-level seats were going for day of game? Lower level, in between the end lines.
8,500?
Starting at $3,000 a ticket and going up.
Okay.
And people were afraid to offend the scalpers by offering $3,000. And you think about that. I think face value on the ticket in the middle sections is probably 500 or less.
Why would they be
NBA All-Star is off the hook popular.
Former players like it. Players like it because it's just fun. It's fun for them. Like Barkley probably likes it. Like
the parties and all that are big. Charles likes it because literally it is just drinking all weekend.
Right.
And normally, and I think I've told you this off air before too, but one of the things I've known having gotten to know Charles as well as I do is when he drinks too much, he gets laryngitis. And so in years past, when you watch TNT broadcasts, the times that they were on the air, when he was sounding more like Demi Moore than himself, that meant he had one hell of a time the night before.
I didn't know that. I mean, I knew he was a drinker. I know he liked to have fun, but...
Yeah, when he does drinks and cigars and does late night, he starts talking like this.
Does Kenny drink or no?
Maybe a little. I'm not sure.
He doesn't strike me as a guy that does, but he could.
Yeah. So there's lots to get to today on the show. We can break down All-Star Weekend. There was lots of topics, as Nick said. There's also the Roughnecks. They got a win. There's also more out of Astros camp, as it just won't go away, and it continues to, I don't know if you want to say, get better and better or worse and worse, depending on your opinions. But that's coming down because the commissioner spoke this weekend. So did Carlos Correa in support of his brother, Jose Altuve, and Altuve spoke today as well. So plenty to more to get to on the Astros story, as well as more and more players chiming in. But we also want you to be a part of the show, as we always do. 713-780-3776. That's our HRNP listener line. Call that number or text that number. You can also reach us via Twitter, where it's at Tyler Drew Scott, at The Producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We'd love to hear from you, and if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, we're open get you in on the show. Just getting started, so don't go anywhere. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, just getting it going here on ESPN 97.5. It is Nick in for Barry, myself, and Tyler. As we take you till 4, Blitz takes you till 7. We were talking about the NBA All-Star Weekend. Interesting, one of the things that came out of the new format, and if you missed it, they were games within the game. So the first quarter was a game, the second quarter was a game, third quarter was a game, and then the fourth quarter, they did it like the basketball tournament it's called, that tournament they have in the summer worth $2 million, winner take all, where they do this formula that they use, and the fourth quarter, the final score is dictated by the first one to a certain number in honor of Kobe Bryant. It was the first one team to 24 in the fourth quarter. And they, what they do going into the fourth is they take the cumulative scores for the first three games, add them up. LeBron's team was, I think, down 9 going into the fourth.
Right.
And then they go from there. But what you found was, because we always say, and it's tougher in football because injuries are more prevalent, and so guys don't want to hit other guys if it's just a Pro Bowl. But the desire of everybody when they get to these All-Star games is they want everybody to play hard. They want to see the ultimate players in the ultimate competition. They got as close as they've ever gotten in the fourth quarter because you had the 24 best in the league going at it, trying to get to this score of 157. And it made for some really compelling moments. Guys played defense. They were calling plays. Even the players were saying the intensity level and the fact that you couldn't make a mistake because it was magnified by the fact that it's not like getting someone's bench player that might not catch it when you make a mistake. When you're talking about guys of this ability, you slip up and they're going to take advantage. It was awesome.
Oh, it was great. Dude, I appreciated the fact that there was a little bit more competition in the game. You even saw some of the players go up to the officials and complain about calls and stuff like that. James Harden was one of them, of course. But it's cool. I mean, it showed that they actually wanted to win the game. So they were having fun, but they still made it competitive. And I appreciated that. I appreciated that part of it. So
one of the other interesting things that came out, we knew it was Team LeBron and Team Giannis. And, you know, like I said, after the game, guys were raving about the entire situation and how it went down. LeBron was talking about the fact that there were plays being called and guys were so hyper-focused. Giannis was talking about the fact as a team, their focus was to get buckets. They zeroed in on one guy and one guy only, and it happened to be the Rockets' best player.
Obviously, defensively, I got a little bit out of breath. We played for like 25 minutes in the fourth quarter. They were trying to like make the little small guys switch on LeBron because they knew they were switching. Coach Nick Nurse told me to like send towards the middle so he cannot not go to the screen. So that's what I tried to do. Offensively, we were just trying to find whoever James Harden was guarding. That's what we thought we don't have the opportunity to score on. And obviously, you cannot go wrong. Kemba, Kyle, JL, me, Siakam, everybody's great players. Whoever has the ball, he's gonna make a play for the guy next to him, and it's gonna be good because we all great players.
So if you didn't catch that, he said we obviously just went at whoever James Harden was guarding.
Yeah, so he's basically saying, well, Harden is probably, it sounds like he's saying that Harden is probably the best defender. And look, we have nothing but all-stars defender. On our, or the worst defender. And we have nothing but all-stars on this team. So we'll just, it doesn't matter who James Harden is guarding because that all-star is probably going to be able to score on him anyway. It was kind of an indirect shot. I don't even think Giannis realized what he was saying when he said it because he didn't sound like
the media chuckled. Yeah, but he didn't really react. Like if he was kidding, you'd think he'd laugh a little bit, smile, yuck it up. He didn't.
Like if that was intentional, he really made it look like it wasn't. Like he did a really good job of not making it seem like it was intentional or it was.
Or he's still a little bit bitter over the fact that when, depending on the story and how it goes, when everybody knew Giannis was going to get the MVP a year ago, Harden didn't show for the ceremony. And Giannis, I guess, whether it was outwardly spoken or just understood amongst those that know him, he wasn't exactly pleased. James took a pass.
I remember that when it happened. But that's not shocking coming from James Harden. I could see James Harden not showing up to somebody else's MVP-like ceremony. I could see that easily. And whether you want to make that a knock on James Harden or not, it probably is, because you want to be a good sportsman even when you're a star. Mm-hmm. When you're a star, you want to show that you're happy when other players do well. There's nothing wrong with being a competitor, and that might just be the competing side in James Harden. So, but no, I totally saw when I saw that, when I heard that, I was like, wow, that was just a shot on James Harden's defense. Like,
no doubt.
And that's not good. That's not good. Again, I've always thought that James Harden is a, like they always harp on the fact that James Harden is a decent low post defender. And I've always thought in my mind, in my unexpert opinion, that it's easier to play defense in the post than it is on perimeter because you have to move your legs. You have to go side to side. It's more tiring, in my opinion, to defend someone on the perimeter than it is on the post, even if the guy is bigger than you, because you can just put a body on him. It's not like James Harden is incredibly small.
Well, you make a good point, because honestly, the switches, the defensive strategies, the rotations happen on the perimeter. On the post, if you are guarding a guy on the block, you are going to be in one central area right there on the block, and it's more about it's a battle of wills, like how strong is your lower half to get positioning, things like that. But you're not having to worry about rotations and switches and things like that. So you're spot on with that.
No, that and just like you said, it's basically a battle of positioning. If someone's going to post you up, he's trying to get to the best spot in the paint or around the paint to either turn around and shoot it, hook shot, whatever the case may be, to get those 2 points. He's trying to position himself in the best spot. And it's up to the low post defender to make sure he doesn't get in the best position so he can get that shot. That's what James Harden does well on defense. He does. I admit that. I will say that. Perimeter-wise, it's different because sometimes he's late. He's late to switches sometimes. Sometimes he's late to running to the perimeter and trying to block a three-point shot. I've seen him do that. But on the low post,
he's a good low post defender. And he's guarded Blake Griffin before and other bigs and done very well. So I don't take that away from him. I just thought it was interesting what Giannis said about their focus in trying to attack someone that is not known, obviously, to play defense.
It's a bad look because that was their game plan, to zero in on James Harden. So it's a bad look for James Harden.
No doubt. The rest of the weekend, I'll take you through, and you just tell me your thoughts. But the dunk contest, I guess, was the most controversial. Gordon and Jones Jr. were in the middle of it. I thought it was absolutely riveting for a dunk contest. Not saying that it was like riveting as in breaking news, but it was something that you had to make sure you didn't walk away and walk out of the room for. Both guys were just absolutely dunk after dunk, just creative and athletic and just pulling up some great things. But it did not exactly end the way people had hoped it would.
I loved what Aaron Gordon and Derrick Jones Jr. did. You could tell that they both won. I felt like going into that last little the last two or three dunks when Aaron Gordon said, look, man, I had 450s. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't even have to dunk anymore. I felt like he had a point. I mean,
he had 5 for the whole thing, which is pretty impressive.
Right, because he got another perfect score after that, after mm-hmm. he made that comment. And I actually recorded, like I DVR'd the slam dunk contest, and it ended right before they made the announcement, so I had to Google it. I was shocked that Derrick Jones Jr. won.
A lot of people were. I'll tell you this. Now, according to Ramona Shelburne, they basically said they were around the judges. The judges' plan was to give Gordon on the taco fall dunk the exact same, the number needed to make sure that it would equal Jones and it would be a tie. And obviously they're not analytical and they're not analytics experts because right. their math got crossed. And they ended up selling Gordon 1 point short and he lost. I would have been totally fine with the way that whole thing went down with a push, with a tie. Both get the trophy. It's not unprecedented. They've had MVP trophies in which two different guys won it. And you know what? And they basically said, you take this trophy. The NBA is going to get me another one. We're all good. Stockton and Malone did it. Kobe gave it to, shared it with somebody and gave it up, I think, to Shaq.
Yep.
So I would have been fine with, as impressive as it was, I don't think we needed to see a loser in that instance. You got the two best. You got the two guys that did it the best that night, and I would have been fine with a push. Give it to both of them.
Yeah, I totally agreed with the broadcast. I thought that's what they were going to do when the broadcast started talking about it, and they were making jokes like, man, we can't be that cheap. There's got to be another trophy liner. I think Reggie Miller made that comment. And look, dude, I was with him. Why not give him two trophies? Like, I didn't expect – it's not a situation where – it's you have to have one winner, as you said. And they also mentioned how Derrick Jones Jr. was kind of dunking against himself at one point. And they mentioned how Dominique Wilkins felt the exact same way, I believe, in like the 1988.
88 was Jordan in Chicago.
Because he was essentially dunking against himself, and it was kind of unfair. So I was totally cool with a two-trophy situation, but someone down there was insistent on one person winning. I don't know who.
Either that or someone's calculator wouldn't work and they were trying to count too many fingers. Yeah. Like I said, between Dwayne Wade and Candace Parker and all those guys, Kenny Smith and whoever it was on the...
Ramona Shelbourne reported this?
She was there, right there. I saw her hovering around the judges most of the night. And the plan was that they were going to get it to be an exact tie. And then, in their mind, the judges would determine their own winner. Each one would have a vote as to who won. Which I don't think you need to take that far. Just so
the goal was still to get one winner.
Yeah. So they didn't do that, but in the process, they got one hell of a contest. Also, Buddy Hield at the buzzer.
That was awesome.
Beat Devin Booker in the 3-point contest. So that was good. Bam Adebayo, we mentioned, won the skills contest, and that's all you need to know. All-Star Weekend, I believe, was a success.
Yeah, and I loved how Shaq was the cameraman. It was like you saw Shaq, and he's like so tall, so big, and the phone looks like it's so tiny compared to Shaq. And it's so funny the way he was so focused in on recording and shooting that he wasn't even like being himself. He wasn't as funny, but I thought that was funny because he just was so focused on getting a good shot that...
He also still crapped on Dwight whenever he got a chance. Yeah. All right, that's the first half hour of the show. We got 2.5 to go. Plenty more to get to. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. We got Astro stuff to talk about again, and not because it's the first day of everybody in camp, but of course it's the story that won't go away. More from the scandal, more comments coming in. It's coming up next. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, first hour of the three-hour extravaganza. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Nick's in for Barry on a Monday. Tyler in for Nick as we... play musical chairs, but keep you entertained till 4. Blitz takes you till 7 right here on ESPN 97.5. Switching gears a little bit, we can get back to basketball and other topics around the NBA, but this baseball scandal with the Astros obviously is not going away anytime soon. Commissioner Rob Manfred came out and did an interview with ESPN's Carl Ravitch over the weekend as part of his tour of the two spring training states, Arizona and Florida, where he's trying to talk to teams, managers, etc. But in the course of the interview, where he kind of poo-pooed on the Astros and the way they handled the Crane press conference the other day with Altuve and Bregman and Dusty, but yet he's not any better. He does an interview with Carl Ravitch. He continues to leave the doors open, stir the pot, give people, you know, fodder to talk about, saying that he thought about taking the trophy away from the Astros, but there was no past precedent. And then at the end of the day, it's just a piece of metal. So he wasn't going to do anything to the actual title, to which Justin Turner of the Dodgers lost his bleeping mind over that. He talked about giving the players immunity so that they would speak because he thought that would help to get to the bottom of the entire issue, which a lot of players and other people around baseball have criticized. And then there was the entire situation that kind of spun off of that, which is as players reported to camp and more of the position players got in for like today being the first day of actual workouts, you got more and more opinions and they continue to roll in. But one of the things that was very, very apparent was that the Dodgers are still going to be and always will be extremely bitter about what happened, what could have been in their mind if there wasn't a scandal and cheating and they felt like the title had been taken from them. And Cody Bellinger did not hold back when he said that Altuve stole an MVP from Aaron Judge and went on to say things about how it was all handled and how the fact that those they've lost respect for those guys and everything else. The fantastic part was, and this was the best part of any bit of audio that the Astros have had since this whole thing was brought to light, Carlos Correa came to the defense of Jose Altuve. He called for an interview with MLB and the Athletics' Ken Rosenthal, and he did not hold back.
Like I said before, what doesn't sit well with me is when you say false statements. If you don't know the facts, if you're not informed, this is America, Ken. You can say whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. But Cody Bellinger's job is to look for information, get informed, know the facts for sure before he stands in front of cameras to talk about other players. You should get informed. You should be informed before you talk about other players. If you don't know the facts, then you got to shut the
I loved it.
That was fantastic.
I mean, I like the fact that he's kind of been the vocal leader for the clubhouse. I like the fact that he's standing up for his teammate. These are the type of things that I think you should do. And I know there's they're calling it the old school train of thought about what goes on in the clubhouse should not be revealed outside the clubhouse. But you have guys, because I was one of the vocal guys against Michael Fiers. I didn't like the way he handled the situation. I didn't think it was necessary for him to do what he did. But some people say, you know, cheating is cheating and fair is fair, and he should have. And Rob Manfred has been one guy that's given him credit for speaking out against him. And then I believe his name is Bob Melvin, the manager of the
A's.
He was saying that he's actually helping the sport. I don't know if you have that audio, Tyler, if you can play it real quick. But Bob Melvin, I think he met with, I forgot what the interview, who the interviewee was, but this is what he said about Mike Fiers.
Not happy, if we're doing the one-word answers again. But no, it's something that we were aware of. I think a lot of teams were aware of it.
Yeah.
And based on the fact that we had a guy that played for them, we tried to do the best we can, knowing that there were some things that were going on that were completely against the rules. And nobody's particularly happy about it. And when I hear some of the criticisms of Mike Fiers, it really upsets me because, you know, even some of the old school guys that you're hearing about are saying what goes on in the clubhouse should stay in the clubhouse. This goes way beyond that. This is the integrity of the game. And this is the closest thing you can find to fixing a game.
Right.
So it's something that needs to be cleaned up. I think the farther this goes on, I think people are going to realize that Mike Fiers was a hero for doing something like this. And it needs to be out of our game because no one should have that type of advantage.
Here's my problem with audio, Joel. I get he's trying to defend his guy because now he's an Oakland A. I get that, okay? Yeah. But he's calling him a hero. And he said it's the closest thing to fixing a game. But he also said that we were all aware of the fact that the Astros were cheating. So you included were aware that the Astros were cheating. So where were you? You're not a hero. You're clearly not the hero. Mike Fiers is, and you're not. You obviously knew, and you shut up too. Why did you shut up? Because you're probably the same. You had the same old school mentality that all the other guys had. You kept your mouth shut. And now that you have a player that's getting all this heat, you're defending him. Like, he's a hero because he did something that you weren't willing to do.
I'm with you. Where's the integrity of the game to call them out the minute you know about it, whether you're on that team or another team, and you know what's going on? I'm totally with you. I really want to hear someone, and you know I'm not a very big fan of Jeff Passan and the way he's handled all of this, but I want someone to attack the Yankees and dig deep into the four of the last 5 years that Beltran was with the Yankees when he came to the Astros and said, you guys are behind the times. Well, if the Astros were behind the times, that means you were ahead of the times with whatever team you were with previously. That was 3 years with the Yankees.
Yeah.
I want to hear that too. I want to hear those. And let's also be very clear, Nick. They are guilty. The Astros are guilty.
100%.
And so they have to own that. And they have to make sure that everybody understands there's no escaping that. But they weren't alone. That the fact that we haven't heard about the Red Sox decision yet, we haven't heard about the other teams, but to say that this is as close to whatever he just said about changing the game and the outcome and everything like that, it seems to me like all the reports I've read, multiple teams were doing this. So I get it that the poster child right now is the Astros, but the other thing that what you're talking about is exactly when I talked about the stories that I knew of players that knew of the Patriots cheating over the years, and I said to them, why don't you report them? And they said, because of that NFL shield, it still brings me a bunch of money. And if I screw with the integrity of the game and people who love football start thinking that it's fixed, it's rigged, or teams are cheating and they're getting away with it, it's going to take money out of my pocketbook. And I'm not going to do that. I firmly believe a lot of people in baseball felt the same way.
And it's so easy to come off as like an Astros fan that's not being objective when you say all the other teams are doing it. So the immediate response to that from all fans that are not in Houston is, well, you're just saying, well, it's because every other team does it. That doesn't make it right. Well, okay. I mean, it's not really, in my opinion, a defense that makes you look like a fan. To me, it's a defense that we all knew what was going on. And that's the reason why I have a problem with Bob Melvin's comments. You knew about this. But Mike Fiers is the hero for bringing it up while you sat on your ass and you didn't say anything. And the only reason why he has that comment, he's making that comment, is because Mike Fiers is on his team. Otherwise, sure, he wouldn't even make those comments.
You're absolutely right. So there's plenty more to get to on this, including Mike Trout chiming in. And I've got some issues about that in stuff that's come up on our show previously. But guys are coming in more and more. They're stating their opinions as they come into camp. And, of course, it's not going to be very favorable for the Astros. But the best thing that they can do is what they started doing today, and that is taking the high road. Putting all of this behind them from the standpoint of all the comments every day.
Again and again and
again. Just focus on playing baseball going forward. It's the best thing you can do. You've said all you can say at this point, and no one's going to give you a pass.
And they have to know this going into every media. Every time they address the media, they have to recondition their mind to just take the high road.
Yep.
And that's going to be really hard to do it for a 162 game season.
No doubt about it. What shouldn't be hard to do is stay with us, because we've got plenty more of the show to get to. We're just in hour number one of the 3-hour extravaganza, and we've got your comments and necessary tweets, texts, and other things if you want to get in. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more. It's the Usual Suspects with Nick in for Barry, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back in the first hour of the show, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry taking a couple days off. Nick coming in to the rescue. Tyler, of course, much appreciated. Being our producer today. I believe Aaron's in tomorrow, but we appreciate this. Tyler, chime in at any time. Obviously, you're a passionate Astros fan. As I mentioned before the break, as guys come into camp for position players to report, more and more people have something to say, and the media want to hear about it, from Mike Trout on down in terms of the Astros. Trout had plenty to say today. And El Jefe, amongst others, who have also chimed in the past, bring up something that popped into my head immediately when I heard Mike Trout's comments today, because he basically said, I noticed the way they were hitting the ball, it just felt like they weren't missing pitches. He was very offended by the entire situation. He said, it's sad for baseball. It's tough. They cheated. I don't agree with the punishment, with the players not getting anything. It was a player-driven thing. It sucks, too, because guys' careers have been affected, on and on and on and on. Now, that's one thing, and he's obviously the best player in baseball.
Yep.
But I refer to, and I'm not going to refer to all of what El Jefe tweeted, because a lot of it I'm not going near, because there are other issues the Angels have dealt with in the past year or so that we need to be respectful of. But the one thing that has been brought up over and over again, so much so that Barry even at one point looked it up, and that is that be careful when you start throwing stones, Mike Trout, because it has been highlighted over and over again, whether you took a banned substance or not, because I'm not going to be out here to point a finger and say you unequivocally did, because I don't know. But it has been implied several times. And the main stats that are brought up to back that up is when you look at his minor league stats and the amount of home runs he did not hit, which means he did not hit any, hardly at all. And all of a sudden, he becomes one of the most prolific home run hitters in baseball and things like that. Let's not just think that everything else is off the books, off the table, and not worth talking about because there was a sign-stealing scandal. Let's be careful before you throw too many stones. It's the same way I keep going back to, look, Yankee fans are puffing their chest out and pointing fingers at the Red Sox and the Astros saying, but we didn't do it. Don't be so sure. And I want all the facts to come out on this, the Dodgers. I've heard from friends of mine that are in Major League Baseball that have told me all the big cities that are puffing their chests out now need to be careful. So just like that, just like Mike Trout, slow down a little bit before you go overboard with some of the comments.
And I remember Barry Laminack looking up the stats when that was brought to our attention. I want to say a few weeks ago about Mike Trout. I mean, the problem also is that every time a player speaks, which is going to be a lot over the next few weeks, it reignites that flame that's being thrown at the Houston Astros as a team. So now Mike Trout, the face of baseball, is reigniting that flame, and it's just a bad look. I think the other problem with Mike Trout's comments is the fact that there's a good possibility that you had a teammate, Mike, that was sign stealing. There's a good possibility that someone you know or someone you respect for may have done something to earn that edge and sign steal. And he's going out making comments like, I lost some respect for some guys. Look, a lot of these guys could be your teammate, could be guys that you played with, could be guys that you trained with or practiced with. So you got to be careful what you say. And I think some of these players, I'm not saying necessarily Mike Trout, they're going to regret coming out and making some of these comments. They don't know the in-depth nature of this investigation. Like we said, we don't know what's going to happen to the Boston Red Sox. I think that's supposed to come down at the end of this week or next week.
Is what's rumored.
So, I mean, there's going to be so many more players linked to this if they're still planning on, you know, hitting players or teams or managers with sanctions and punishments.
And that brings me to the Red Sox, as you mentioned, Chris Sale. Chris Sale had plenty to say over the course of the weekend. And the fact that he knew in his first playoff start for the Red Sox, he got lit up by the Astros and he started scratching his temple and trying to figure out, man, they're really putting bat on ball against me and something was up. Then he started saying that he basically was not going to say one way or the other, but that he could see that players are going to want to hit the Astros this year. They're going to want to take them out. They're going to take them down. They're going to be very upset. Are we forgetting that you play for the Red Sox, Chris Sale? The fact that in 2018, Your team name was prominently displayed as the... And again, that's why I want that ruling to come sooner rather than later. But again, before you start throwing stones, realize there's obviously a level of guilt going on, or you'd still have the same manager who was one of the two ringleaders of the entire sign-stealing issues with the Astros and Alex Cora. And it goes so far, in one of the other interviews he did, to say that Cora actually called Sale when the word started leaking out that the cheating scandal was going to be brought to light to try and downplay what had happened when he was with the Astros and to try and talk to him about what happened when he was with the Red Sox. So let's slow the roll and pad the brakes before you start pointing fingers and telling everybody they should get hit.
What I'm hoping for, Joel, is that because the MLB has already come out and said no player is going to be impacted in terms of sanctions or punishments, I'm hoping that makes them more comfortable to reveal all the names, players-wise, in all the reports. If you're already saying you're not going to punish them, then you should be transparent in all the players that are going to be that are linked or tied to any type of sign-stealing or electronic sign-stealing scandal, because that's going to be important. And the reason why you should be okay with doing that is because you're not going to just suspend the entire league. You've already said you're not going to punish any of the players. Be transparent. List all the players that are linked to it, because a lot of these names, a lot of these players that are coming out right now saying they lost respect for the Astros and whatnot, a lot of them might be eating their words. A lot of them. Even Anthony Rendon, who's from Houston,
yep,
he wasn't necessarily as harsh as other players, but he did say they looked suspicious. His quote was, even when I watched their games over the previous years, it was suspicious. It looked weird. They were sitting on balls that were very, very tough pitches. And just the way that they were playing the game, they're all talented players. I love those guys over there, especially what they've done in my city of Houston to help us out. But it definitely raises a lot of questions watching those games.
Now, it's interesting to me because of the fact, like I said, and again, let's not lose sight of the fact the Astros cheated and they need to own that.
Yeah.
But when you look at the things that you're talking about, that's why I just think all the word needs to come out on all the teams, but that's a bad look. And I think baseball is very, very apprehensive about doing that for what we talked about previously, which is to tarnish the image of the sport, to take away then from the popularity and the merchandise and the ticket sales and all those other things. But the other thing that I take back to the Correa quote, which was, he was adamant about saying, we did it in 17. Everything was in 17. No 18, no 19. And the thing is that team was good enough to get back to the World Series last year with no cheating involved. They were in a game 7. They were one game away from being world champs again. Yeah. So it shows you the level of talent and baseball ability on that squad, as opposed to 2 years ago when everybody rightly can point the finger, did it give them a distinct advantage or not? They're admitting that happened then, but they're very adamant about saying no trash can banging, no buzzers, no nothing. Manfred even backed that up again this weekend in 19, and that team was good enough to be one game from world champs.
Yeah.
So let's not sleep on the fact that this was like some huge advantage too, that they didn't have good players.
Oh, that in itself should prove that they're a very talented roster. The fact that they came back in 2018, despite not winning the World Series, but doing what they were able to do. And we know how hard it is to go back-to-back in this league now. When's the last time any team went back-to-back? It's been a while. It's been a while. Precedent shows that it's really difficult to do that. Now, there were some years the Yankees did it, but for the most part, it's really, I want to say it's been at least a decade since the last time a team went back-to-back.
You're right.
At the very minimum.
I think it was at the start of, I think it was 2001, early 2000s, the Yankees did it.
Yeah, so like this notion that, okay, they won it in 17, and then they stopped cheating in 2018, so they didn't win it. That's just a BS argument, in my opinion, because it's so hard to go back and repeat what you've done, especially when you have to deal with the dynamic of keeping your players on your roster. You saw how the Astros lost Gerrit Cole, and pretty much everybody knew that was a done deal and that he wasn't going to re-sign. It was just
right.
The numbers just wouldn't make sense. And he was obviously high in demand.
He wanted to play for the Yankees.
He wanted to play for the...
You can lobby and throw money all you want, but if a guy's adamant about playing where he wants to play and he has a choice, he's going to play there.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, look, we're going to have to keep talking about this because more things are going to come out, the punishment, more players are going to come out and have more quotes. But at the end of the day, we do have, you know, Astros should own the fact that they did cheat during the 2017 season, and just take it on the chin as much as they can. If someone goes overboard,
literally,
if someone goes overboard, defend your teammates. I see what Carlos Correa is doing. I get it. But for the most part, just like you said, Joel, as repetitive as it sounds, you're going to have to do this for 162 games this season, and it's not going to be easy.
And the big thing, Nick, is every time they go on a road trip, every media in that market that didn't get to go to spring training, they're coming at you high and hard yep. with all the different questions about this exact thing. It's like you said, it's not going away. And now's the time where they all have to adopt this mentality of just, we're just going to focus on this season and go forward and try and worry about games being played this year. I think they've said too much, but they've said all they needed to say now about all of this. Their best approach to get people to kind of calm down a little bit, stop talking.
Yeah, and that's going to be hard. That's going to be hard to do that for 162 games. It's going to be really, really hard to do that.
Yeah, no doubt about it, but that's what they're faced with now. And if you missed it, another part of what Correa had to say when defending Altuve was the fact that between his wife not being happy the last time his shirt was ripped off, but also the fact that he had an unfinished tattoo on his collarbone that he wasn't proud of, people started trying to uncover that and say that was a bunch of lies. Today, as Jose Altuve walked into the clubhouse and media was surrounding Correa, he took his shirt off to make sure that everybody in the media saw the tattoo that Correa had referenced. And then after the workout, when he said he'd make himself available, he did exactly what I just asked all the Astros players to do. He said, "I'm not addressing Bellinger. I appreciate what Correa did. He's a true teammate in every sense of the word. Now I'm ready to talk about nothing but baseball."
Yeah, that's probably the smart way to go at this point.
So there you have it. First hour of the show is in the books. That means still got 2 hours to go. So plenty of time for you to chime in and join us. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, be a suspect. 713-780-3776. Call that number. Text that number. Hit us on Twitter. Hour 2 next. ESPN 97.5.